Amen. Thank you, sister. All right, I'm going to make a couple comments about Mother's Day. And then I'm going to release the kids. And that's on purpose. Because I think one of the things that you learn as you grow older is how much moms mean to you. And I hope that as I look across at all these beautiful, high-maintenance children, that you learn more quickly than I did about how important the moms in your life are. And there's some moms that are, you know, the people that gave birth to you. And then there's other women in your life that care for you, and sometimes that's like friends' moms or neighborhood mom or teacher mom or somebody who taught you about Jesus in your children's classes. And they all have great value. So I just encourage you, if you're a young child or maybe an old child, even as a 50-year-old child or former child, I started off today by texting mom and just letting her know how much she means to me. But I could also text various women in my life that have been have showed me that I belong and showed me that I am known and loved and went out of their way in their own special, unique way to show me that. So if you are a mom who has given birth to kids and have loved them imperfectly but well, I just want to say this morning, thank you. And those and for those of you that have not had the privilege and honor of having physical children, thank you for how you care for others in a beautiful, motherly way. We as a congregation say thank you. So children, I encourage you today to find a time just to tell mom, the moms in your life, thank you, and be specific. Thanking them for specific things is a beautiful way to express that love. But with that word of encouragement, I'm going to now release the children and the youth to their classes. So follow Michelle, follow Frank based on your time frame that you've been on the planet. All right, update. I was told not to say this morning. Someone asked me how I was doing. I was like, my body does not know what part of the United States I'm in and what time it is. I'm just taking it by faith that my iPad is correct. But I wanted to start off by giving you an update of where I've been, because I think this is something that we're all in together. So the last 2 weeks have been crazy, and they were going to be busy, but then they got crazy. So if we could maybe first slide. And this is where I was about 2 weeks ago. And I went to go see my mentor's retirement. And if there's anything that makes you feel old, it's going to your mentor's requirement. And he was my youth pastor, and his work is absolutely distinct, and he's still a spiritual leader to me. We went out golfing, and he gave me several, maybe three or four points of spiritual direction while golfing. And I was able to beat him for the first time in my life, but please don't clap. He had just had a stroke, so I know. How do you respond to that? I did not say in your face when we were done. But he used his gifts in three distinct places. And so when I met him, he was He was my youth pastor. By the end of my senior year, he was heading toward his second location and eventually his third. And I'll maybe the next slide. This is a group of people that he profoundly influenced when he was in Richland, Washington. And there's a ton more than that, but these are the people that came to Medford, Oregon, just to say thank you to him. And then I was sitting in this auditorium, and you don't even get a sense here. There's 10, 15 rows behind me, but the place is absolutely packed. And as I'm asking people what Pete meant to them, just person after person, you know, brought me to faith, brought me to a place of maturity. His willingness to follow God's call, although it was incredibly painful for when he left Richland and left all of us in the youth group, what I saw there, that it was fruitful work from place to place. And so just a beautiful experience. There we are starting the round. He wasn't smiling at the end of it because I so utterly destroyed him, but we've already been over that. All right, then I leave Medford, Oregon at 4 o'clock in the morning, fly into Seattle. I'm in Seattle at 6, and then at 8 o'clock, I fly to Austin. In Austin, Texas, I am meeting with leaders from 6 regions. And the Soma family of churches has been in some degree of chaos for the last 2 years. And one of the things that I have, that God just had me step into, a lot of it unawares, the result of all of the, I would say, the last 9 months of listening has been to, okay, we need to get together as leaders and talk through it. And we had a very specific plan laid out. I don't know if you guys are planners, but my team and I are planners. And we had everything planned out. And at the last minute, I felt like God was telling me that I should insert a 10-minute time period just to talk about the story of the Soma family of churches, of which this is the third Soma plant. So about 2009, there's no family of churches. 2010, there's 3. 2023, now there's 80. But there's a story in all of this. And so I asked Jeff, I said, could you for 10 minutes talk about the story of Soma? 3 hours later, and I've got Amanda, who's the organized one in this group, just sending me note after note after note. Cut it off, cut it off. Cut it off. Cut it off. We need to go to the... I was not trying to portray you, Amanda, as anything other than helpful, but it's the limits of communication. But, you know, we're just sensing the Spirit is moving here. And these are grown men, these are strong leaders, but there's a lot of tears as Jeff is apologizing for some things that have happened, whether it's weakness or difficulty or... You know, it's just life together in a cursed world. You know how it is. People that are trying to do the same thing, it just hurt happens. But what God does through that is he just lets everybody talk about and ask questions, things that they didn't understand or that were hurtful. And then we moved into a time of focus, just remembering what God had called us to as a group and what God wanted us to focus on that next chapter. And I don't know how to describe it other than just watching the Spirit heal and then refocus these group of leaders that are from Southern California, Arizona, Texas, Tennessee, Virginia, Michigan, Washington, Canada. Now, leaving this Austin retreat focused. And I heard several of them say that God had gifted me and my team to do this. And that they were so happy that we had used our gifts for this purpose. And many of them said, we feel like Soma has been resurrected. Because they were afraid that Soma, the family of churches, was going to just disintegrate. After leaving Austin, I flew back to Seattle, and then I had at least a 6 hours of rest before I got up, flew down to Santa Barbara, picked up my, and then drove with my daughter back here. And then I was here and for several hours before I then flew to Philadelphia and then went to New Jersey, which might as well be a foreign country culturally, honestly. But then in New Jersey, there were leaders there from Maine to Virginia Beach. They, in the Northeast, told me when I got there, "We are surprised but happy that you showed up." Now, I don't know how much that speaks to you, but what that means is the Northeast has felt ignored. And so as we basically spent several days just listening to them. How are you doing? What have you experienced over the last 6 months? What have you experienced over the last couple of years? And, you know, statistically, we know what it's been like for Christian leaders in the last 3-4 years. You know that at least 40% of them are looking for other jobs, and if they could do anything else, they would. They just feel completely devastated, abandoned. And so you just see that, and you hear that in the stories as person after person after person just shares what's on their heart, and then you take time to lay their hands on their shoulder and just pray for them. And then we took time to train them, and what you see there in that Victorian house that we stayed on, right on the Jersey shore, is that we're beginning to talk to them about what's coming, about global trends, about working together better as a region, and what SOMA's goals are as far as planting churches and missional communities. And it was beautiful to see the change between feeling abandoned to feeling heard and seen. From feeling alone to feeling like, okay, we're going to move forward as a movement. Feeling like we don't have any support to, we have people that care about us and will show up and will help. And we entered with skepticism and we left with smiles, hugs, insults. Have you been in New Jersey? It's actually how they show love. I have not been called idiot that much since I was in middle school. The guy from Boston at one point said something about being wicked stupid, and I wasn't even going to touch that. But we also have them as a group committing to together plant a church in the region this year and committing long term to continue to plant missional community after church in the region. And brothers and sisters, it is beautiful to see God move among the leaders of SOMA. And I'm just, honestly, I could not do it without you. As I face the difficulties going forward, and as I face a difficult move, and as I face all sorts of uncertainty, just know that your prayer support, your financial support, your hugs and your tears and your encouragement in all sorts of different ways, I just could not do without you. Thank you. I wish you could see it. I wish you could see how these trips encourage and give strength to those leaders who have been lonely a long time. So, thank you. One of the guys said this week, he said, "I know you're not a woman," and I said, "I know you're not Esther," but he said, "You have the gifts for such a time as this." And it's a spirit thing. It's not a Paul is awesome thing, but I'm just grateful for how you guys have been willing to free me up for this. So there's the update. We'll talk more about it because it's going to make it into the sermon illustrations, but here we go. Sermon for May 14th. We belong on this journey ahead. We belong, brothers and sisters. I'm going to read several passages this morning, but the primary one is Romans 12, 3-8. And as I'm thinking about, you know, as I was meditating on this, as I was reading it over and over and over again on various planes, as I was being kicked in the back, as I was being elbowed from the side, as I put my headphones on to drown out the sounds of babies being tortured by Jack Bauer, is what it sounded like to me. Does that? Just, I don't, I'm really not an employee here anymore. if I say anything, it's offensive. I'm sorry. But in the middle of this, as I'm meditating on this scripture passage, the word that jumps out at me from Romans chapter 12 is belong. And belonging is, I don't know, I'm going to describe it to you. I'm going to try and define it to you. But it is the most beautiful feeling you can experience. It is this beautiful combination of being both known and loved. And let me just ask you this question. When was the first time that you realized that you belonged to God? That you felt both, okay, I am known by my Creator and I am loved by my Creator. I mean, all of us have an experience where we are known and then rejected. It's called, again, it's called middle school. Maybe there's four or five of you in here that, you know, were more the popular crowd that were not known but still loved as you fit in. But to belong, you are known and loved. When was that first time you realized you were known and loved? Was it the first time that God answered a prayer? I mean, audience participation. Is that it? God answered a prayer? Okay, we're not going to. ...18 years of trying to get audience participation. Failure. Was it just a spiritual experience? I mean, when I came to faith, I expressed my faith in God, and I don't know what I was expecting, but in that moment, I just felt completely loved. I mean, just love, it felt like a warm blanket. I don't know how else to describe it. I don't know that that's universal, but for me, it's just, wow, God loves me. Other people, they've said things like answered prayer. I think the most common way that people feel like they belong to God is that God's people show them love on some level. And it's like that surprising love, like, oh, I don't deserve that, or I didn't see that coming. But brothers and sisters, you belong to God. You belong to God. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning, because this is throughout the letter, and there's not a slide for it, or if there is, it's a work of God, because I don't think I put it in there. But Romans chapter 1, either pull it up on your Bible app or your physical Bible, or just listen. You know, there's generation upon generation of the church that just didn't have their own personal scripture. They heard it, and so I'll read it. But listen for this belonging, and listen to the intense theological truths that show you that you belong. This letter, Romans chapter 1, is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bring glory to his name. And you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Christ Jesus. I am writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. Do you see that belonging? Liz, in my backpack on the side, there is a water bottle. Thank you for for knowing what it is like to be a pastor's kid. Do you see, what theological truth, again, attempts at audience participation, what theological truth show you belonging in that passage? What do you see about who God is that shows you what belonging is like? Be brave. Speak loud. What did you say, sister? Chosen. Oh, God chose you. Like kickball. Just telling you what I relate to. What theological truth, what intense, almost unknowable theological truth shows you that God is a God who belongs? What do you see in that passage? Who is God? Father, good. What else? Who else? God the Lord, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Trinity. They belong to each other in a beautiful, perfect, known, and loved relationship. And then we are, as my sister said, we are chosen. We are called into that. Now we don't just worship a God who is three persons in one. We belong to a God who is three persons in one. We enter into that. Brothers and sisters, that cannot be shaken. That cannot be changed. That was true in eternity past, and that will be true in eternity future. You belong. You belong. Paul belongs. He belongs so much, he's like, yeah, I'm a slave. Slave to Christ, happily. I'm a doulos. Then God's chosen people belong. And the Gentiles belong. The people who were far off, that were just ceremonially, culturally, everything different from God's chosen people. They are welcomed in. That's us. That's us. And I also want you to notice that that belonging to God is directly tied to Paul using his gifts to display and declare that others belong to God. He said, I'm called to be an apostle to tell people everywhere this amazing truth about a Trinitarian God who welcomes us into that relationship. So we belong to God, we belong to each other. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 12. So we were in 1, now we're in 12. Because, and this is the same phrase he uses in 1, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body, Christ's soma. We are many parts of one soma and we all belong to each other. So in order to fulfill God's purpose, divine purpose of showing his love to the world, showing the whole world, you guys, you all belong, God gives us gifts. And this begins with us submitting to God. Just as Paul submitted to God and said, okay, I am your servant, I am your doulos, I am your slave, to go and to tell others, you and I's response to the fact that we belong to God needs to be submission. And this is our way of understanding how God made each of us in a beautiful, unique way to be a blessing to others and show others that they too belong. And it begins with belief. It doesn't begin with us working really hard to figure out our gift. It begins with belief, acceptance that we belong to God. But then it moves forward to, okay, now I want you to listen to how God has made you so that you can be a blessing to others so they also know that they belong. I think that means that you and I figure out our gift in community, humbly. Now, to illustrate that truth, I'm going to do something I don't think I've ever done in 18 years. I am going to use a basketball illustration. I was in New Jersey. It was after a day of talking with leaders, praying, talking, instruction, and one of the guys asked, what are we doing tonight? And I said, I don't have plans. He's like, good, there's a Celtics-Phillies game on. Not Phillies. Celtics-Sixers. Thank you. My lack of basketball knowledge is already showing itself. But you, here you've got the Boston guys sitting next to the Philly guys, and there's quite a bit of interchange back and forth. And some guy named Tatum. Tracking? Anybody? Basketball fans. Tatum. Jason Tatum. Good, thank you. Jason Tatum has missed most of his shots all evening long. He was like 1 for 14. And then the Celtics are behind. The Philadelphia guys are in the Boston guy's face. And then all of a sudden, Tatum, there's like a switch gets turned. And he just hits shot after shot after shot after shot. And the Sixers guys go from super happy to near suicidal. The Boston guy who was suicidal went to super happy. It was just kind of a unique experience. But the best part was watching the post-game interview. And the reporter goes up to Jason Tatum and says, how did you do it? You missed all your shots early. The fourth quarter, you scored more points than the other team. And he said, humbly, I'm one of the best basketball players on the planet. Just instant classic quote. And you know, right before they're going to commercial break, one of the announcers is like, man, that guy is a monument to self-confidence. But you know, we're all thinking, we're discussing it over the commercial break, and all the seminary-trained pastors in the room basically said, he's right. Right? It's Jason, I mean, you guys know who his name is. You know his name. Many of you who know basketball know that he's most certainly all-star, most certainly, maybe he's got an MVP, whatever it is. He's definitely one of the best basketball players in the world. He's just right-sized, which I think he just knows what his gifts are. He knows what he can do. And I want that for each and every one of you. I would love it if one of you, you know, stands up someday and just humbly, I'm one of the best setup members in this church. So Paul wants us to be involved in this beautiful, amazing opportunity to get to show other people that they belong by using their gifts. And we'll talk about the specific gifts in a moment, but I just encourage you to do that searching, that discovering in community. Our culture right now, just like every other culture that's ever existed, emphasizes specific gifts. And what that does is create a consumeristic culture. What gifts right now are emphasized in American evangelicalism? Preaching. That's right. Preach it, brother. What else? Charismatic, especially extroverts. What else? Worship leader. Yeah, almost anything that happens up here is emphasized. I think you're going to see from the list of gifts that Paul gives here, there is not one of those gifts that is elevated above the others. You know what's fascinating? I mean, one way you can see this is I spent the trip to New Jersey as well as Austin, not just the New Jersey trip, with a world-class missiologist. He is an expert at training people how to go into what he calls complicated places worldwide. Complicated meaning they don't want you there and they may try and kill you. And so he's talking about a remote tribe, and they've planted, I don't know if they've planted 9 churches in this remote tribe, but he said as he begins to help people discover their gifts, their culture does not value the guy that can stand up on stage and preach, or someone that can lead singing, or someone that's super extroverted and charismatic. They value someone who is quiet and wise, because they've seen in their tribal history the extrovert charismatic leaders lead them into all sorts of trouble. So Paul says, you belong to each other, and I want you to be very sober-minded about how God has gifted you so you can be a blessing to the community, as well as show people that don't know yet that they belong to God and each other. So, how beautiful, brothers and sisters, would it be if we could all value each other, if we could all value our individual gifts instead of just valuing the preacher? Our services might look different. Our community might look different. But I would say that if you are here and you're not using your gift, you are missing out, and the rest of the community is missing out. One of the ways that I've discovered over the years that God truly loves me, knows me and loves me, is by truly knowing and loving others. And if you're not using your gift to show others that they belong, you're also not learning about how much God loves and knows you. So what are the implications of this? You know, the implications are verses 6 through 8. So Paul's going to tell them, you belong to God, and God is going to give you this beautiful gift so you can show others that they belong to God and that we belong to each other. And he's going to give several gifts, very specific gifts. And I just encourage you, if you're using a digital Bible, if you see a word that intrigues you, that you have passion about, you feel, okay, God's used me that way in the past, highlight it. If you're using an old-fashioned piece of paper or an old-fashioned to take notes or an old-fashioned Bible that's printed out, you might underline it. And then maybe you can take that to your missional community. Take that to your family and say, do you see this gift in me? Because it would be a beautiful thing, Soma Eastside, if we were a true body of believers, that everybody used their gifts, not just the guy up talking, not just the beautiful people up here playing instruments and singing, not just the charismatic leaders among us, but that we all used our gifts. Do you know what the body doesn't work well if certain parts don't work or refuse to work. I think that describes evangelical Christianity. It's possible that because we overemphasize preachers, that we are known for talking a lot, but not doing a lot. Saying a lot, but not showing what the gospel looks like a lot. And that hurts our ability to show the people that we love and cherish that they belong to God. I'm hoping this doesn't feel like a drive-by guilting. A sample of the gifts, verses 6 through 8 of chapter 12. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And brothers and sisters, this is a sample. So I don't want you to feel distressed if one of these isn't your gifts. There are several lists in Scripture, and I don't think any of them are comprehensive. But they just give you a sample. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. And I'll describe each of these here in a second. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. All right. Let's explain this. First off, prophecy. Now, prophecy is one of those scary words that you think, okay, this is somebody predicting the future. Sometimes. But most of the time, prophecy is telling the truth, is pointing back to Scripture. So many times I see prophecy exercised in our community is by people saying, God brought you to mind today, and this is the passage he gave me to give you. And this often happens to me in text. And man, I wish that I had put it on my screen, because I cannot read it. Can you see that from where you are? Wow. See? Come on. See, that's the gift of prophecy. It's kind of truth-telling. So this is from Mark. You guys remember the Beatties? God gave them this crazy idea that God was sending them to the Carolinas. And I told him a couple times not to go. I did. And gave him very specific good reasons why they shouldn't. But God had given them a very specific and serious call, and off they went. And you know what we're seeing in the Carolinas? We are seeing a church plant form around them. We are seeing people come to faith. It's just beautiful what God does, isn't it? But he sent me this text, and he says, hey, how you holding up, Paul? Matthew 19, 27 through 30, which is God, when Jesus tells the apostles, look, if you give up family and friends and home for me, there will be great reward for you. He says, how are you doing? Love you, praying for you, and Soma. And I just talk about how emotional this whole move is, and just thank him for checking on me. But he says, for whatever it's worth, I'm extremely proud of you, excited for you. I suspect you're about to enter a time where you are closer to Jesus than you've ever been. Prophetic gift. Sending a passage of Scripture, sending what you feel like the passage of Scripture is saying to me specifically. And it takes a step of faith to do something like that. But God gives some of us that gift. And you know what that whole interchange said to me? The whole interchange sent to me was just a reminder to me that I belong. That I belong. Serving. We see this in Scripture all over, washing feet, hosting refugees. In my neighborhood, it looks like my neighbor's coming over and helping me fix one of my cars. It's just a way of saying, showing somebody you belong. The picture is of Micah. Micah is a pastor of a Soma church in Lewiston, Maine. And his service to all of us this week in New Jersey was just to make us food. And you know, when you make food for somebody, they feel like they're part of the family. You feel like you belong. Some of you, so many of you in this congregation are like that. We just feel loved. We feel like this is what life is supposed to be like. This is like what this kingdom of God is supposed to be like. This is how we're meant to be. And then some of you are teachers. Teaching is often just explaining the difference between two concepts. Like if I stood up here and taught you for an hour the difference between a gift and a talent. Some of you are teaching. This is moms passing on their faith to their children. This is dads teaching them how to live life in a wise way. Just shows you that you belong. Somebody cares enough to show you something that is important. Encouraging others. This is the gift of showing someone who's going through a difficult time that they are seen. I see you. I see what you're going through. I see the difficulty ahead of you. I see that. I'm with you. God loves you. God won't let you go through this won't let you go as you go through this. This is often for me what our worship time is. I typically leave a Sunday morning so encouraged by the songs that we sing. It just very literally gives me courage. It helps me then go throughout the week and share the gospel with courage. I don't know if this is overly dramatic or not, but as we speak courage to each other, it enables us just to realize that God is calling us to something that is huge and is beyond us, but we can still together smile and run together as we charge the fires of hell with a small bucket. Because the people that encourage us just remind us God has a fire hose. Then giving, God gives many of you resources beyond what you need. We stayed in a 20,000 square foot house on the Jersey Shore this week because some rich believer in Jesus heard that there was a group of pastors that needed a place to stay, and he just said, stay. You know what? That makes you feel like you belong. Some of you are like that. I'm not saying that any of you in this room can afford a $10 million beach house on the Jersey Shore, but I do see so many of you giving generously so that other people can hear that they belong, can feel that they belong. Keep doing that. Some of you do this by leading, just by showing by example what it looks like to show people that God loves them, knows them, and loves them. It's a huge responsibility. Keep doing it. And some of you have this gift of kindness or mercy or just showing people that have made huge mistakes in life that even though they have made huge mistakes, that they have hurt people or they have destroyed their own life, that God still has love and kindness for them. And it's a beautiful thing. I'm going to invite the band up and just encourage you to find that gift. For the Apostle Paul, it was the gift of apostleship. It was the gift of starting new works, establishing churches, unifying regions, and it's a beautiful thing in this season, in a very non-capital A apostolic sort of way. That's the role that God has given to me, and I'm grateful for it. But also God has given gifts to each of you to serve people, to show people that they belong. And if you don't know what your gift is, what your role is, I am happy to help. And I know that the community here is happy to help. But I would love to see Soma Eastside be a place that everyone not only knows they belong, but they also know how to use their gifts that God has given them to show others that they belong. So response today, action point today, just encourage you to embrace the fact that God loves you, knows you, and loves you. You belong. And if you've never taken that step of faith where you say, okay, God, I believe that you know me and love me, I encourage you to do that today. For some of you, you've taken that step of faith before, but it's just been a long time where you just affirmed it. Verbally affirmed it. God, thank you for showing me that I belong. Maybe that's your step today. Maybe some of you, that step today is just to go through a process of discouraging what your role is here in the Soma. Some of you have been sitting on the sideline expecting the elders to do all the work or the deacons to do all the work or the super volunteers to do all the work. I just encourage you to step forward and embrace the role that God's given you. Another way to respond today, you'll just see we've got different stations here for communion. The bread represents the broken body of Jesus. The wine represents the spilt blood of Jesus. And after you've just asked God what he wants you to hear this morning, I encourage you to come forward, take a piece of bread, dip it in the wine, and remember. Remember individually or as a group how much Jesus paid to show you beyond a shadow of a doubt that you belong. There's also places to give. Perhaps you have a gift of giving, and you'd like to give a huge amount so that the gospel goes forward. We definitely appreciate that, but we encourage all of us to give as obedience to Christ and as a way of saying, God, I want this word to go forward. I want the mission to go forward. Encourage you to give. Also encourage you to sing out today. God is worthy of our praise. I'm so glad you're with us today.